Welcome to Design Biz Survival Guide, a podcast about life and business for interior design professionals. My name is Rick Campos, and this podcast is my response to a design community eager to support, share, and inspire one another. We all know that some things simply cannot be taught in a classroom. I believe that our number one resource for information and inspiration is our peers. Join me as I sit down with industry professionals from across the country to discuss their secret to survival in the business of design. Today, we welcome Laura Brophy of Laura Brophy Interiors, a luxury residential design firm located in Orange County, California. In this episode, Laura shares her course of education and discovery and how she leveraged every learned experience to launch her business of design. We also discuss her marketing strategy to align her brand among the best in the business and how she balances risk and innovation to capture the attention of clients and industry allies. Before we dive into our conversation with Laura, let's take a moment to acknowledge our sponsors. This podcast episode is sponsored by Perch, the design community's premier resource for appliances, decorative plumbing, and outdoor brands. Perch is dedicated to quality, service, and a heightened showroom experience, making them the preferred choice among architects, builders, and designers just like you. With locations in Los Angeles, Orange County, Palm Springs, and San Diego, and more locations coming soon, their interactive showroom experience must be seen to believe. Fully functional displays and a demo kitchen featuring the industry's top brands provides the ultimate test drive for design enthusiasts. As a trade professional, you're eligible for their exclusive rewards program, Perch Premier, where you'll earn credits for every purchase of appliances, plumbing, hardware, and outdoor kitchens. This program is loaded with perks and benefits, so sign up today and tell them you heard about Perch Premier on Design Biz Survival Guide. This podcast episode is also sponsored by Sunset West, the design trade's premier resource for outdoor furnishings. Founded upon a family legacy of fine furnishings and a culture of excellence, the California-based company is dedicated to providing premium casual furnishings and personalized service to the design trade. Each distinct collection is impeccably designed with quality and comfort in mind, and handcrafted in premium finishes and materials that bring life and style to the outdoors. With over 20 collections to choose from in a variety of materials and styles, along with hundreds of custom fabric and COM options, Sunset West is your design partner for stylish outdoor furnishings. See the newest additions and collections at Las Vegas Market, January 23rd through the 27th, and be sure to join us for a special happy hour for Design Biz Survival Guide listeners on Monday, the 24th from 3 to 5 p.m. in the Sunset West Showroom, Building B, Suite 162. And now, let's jump right in with our conversation with Laura Brophy.
So I am married. I've been married, we're coming on 14 years in January.
Wow.
And we have a baby named Chloe, who's our puppy.
Oh, I'm like, wait a second.
And she's actually going to be 15 on Christmas Eve. So,
wow.
So we're both, my husband and I, Rob, he's actually in the business as well. And that recently happened maybe like a year ago. Hmm. So he's over here full time at LBI, and yeah.
Cool. So you're based in Costa Mesa, California, for people that don't know, which is SoCal. Are you from here? Were you kind of born and raised in SoCal, or did you come here from somewhere else?
I am from California.
Yes. Atta girl.
Yes. So I was in LA and then mostly in Orange County, like most of my life.
I see. So you went to school out here. Where'd you go to school?
I went to high
college.
School, a college. I went to the Interior Designers Institute, where I believe, Newport Beach. Yeah,
very awesome. Cool. And I mean, so before you kind of dove into the world of design and pursued an education in design, is this like a second career for you, or were you always kind of on that path?
This has been my career my whole life, really. So interior design, but that being said, while I was going to junior college, I was going there for sports medicine.
Totally different.
I was a personal trainer. I really loved being active. I really loved, it was like, you know, you're helping people get stronger, better their lives. It was very rewarding. I learned so much just for myself as well in that industry. But I can tell you that was definitely not my actual direction that I should go in. And I wandered into an upholstery shop while I was going to school for sports medicine and fell in love and got to intern there. And I was just going through fabrics and pricing fabrics, and I loved even doing that. I mean, the stupidest things was super fun for me, and I learned a ton. And that was my first real mentor in the design industry, was at Howard's Custom Upholstery over in Mission Viejo.
Wow.
And Elaine, who was there, she just she helped me a ton. She helped me find that this was my true passion, interior design. And she told me about the Designers Institute, went there, and that's really how it all started.
Okay, that is out of left field. I've never heard anyone like getting into design by way of stumbling across a workroom.
Yeah.
But what a really great place to learn the business, though, honestly, because so much of the business flows through that workroom. The business of design part flows through the workroom, and that's
absolutely
so important.
And I was getting to see how you could take something that was old and tired and like not cool anymore, and how you could take something and transform it into something that was absolutely beautiful. And it was so cool to see people's reactions when they would come to pick up a piece and they're like, oh my gosh, like this is amazing. And so that was very rewarding and very cool. And I very much fell in love with that.
That's cool. That's interesting. I didn't know about the personal training part, but that's funny though. Like, we all have to figure it out somehow. That's why I love having these conversations, is to hear how people kind of figure it out. Because very rarely do design professionals start design school right out of the gate.
Yeah.
Maybe it's more common now because this current generation realizes and appreciates that design is a real, actual career. Mm-hmm. But maybe for us, I know for me for sure, like, I wasn't convinced that it was a career path. I had to convince myself and show myself that it was.
Yeah, same. I did not know that this was a career when I went into Howard's Custom Upholstery.
Right.
Yeah, I had no idea. I wanted to be when I was younger, I wanted to be in fashion. So I thought that was going to be what I was going to do. Mm-hmm. But I knew, like, I don't have that right personality, really, to be like a buyer, like to just that fashion world, because it's a little more intense, and it just wasn't. I didn't end up doing it. So anyway, so I was trying to figure out, what in the world am I going to do? Like, I hate math. You know, I really don't like science. You know, like,
I'm raising
like,
both my hands right
yeah.
now.
Yeah. And so it was really like, I was actually kind of concerned. I'm like, what in the world am I going to do?
Right.
I love being creative. I love sketching, and I love fabrics and everything. But like, what in the world am I going to do? So that was the best thing that I wandered in that one day.
That's awesome.
Changed my life. Yeah.
That's awesome. So you went to IDI, you got some education in interior design, and then did you just, you know, jump right into the biz? Did you launch a business then?
No.
Or did you do what most designers should do?
Yeah. No, it took me a really long time to get to this stage.
Mm-hmm.
And it was probably you know, when I look back, yeah, it took me a long time, but I really wouldn't change how I got to this point now, because I learned a lot, and I think I had to go through some of those learnings in order to be where I'm at.
Oh, for sure. For
Sitting with you here. Yeah.
So you worked for some other designers before you obviously launched your own business.
I did. When I was going to design school, I think, you know, I don't think ever the teachers were thrilled with me, because I went to the Expo Design Center, which for anyone, if you're younger listening to this, Expos were like a high-end luxury Home Depot company. And so I was working there, and it was free design, really. I mean, you weren't charging. And I know that that was really looked down upon, and I understand the reasonings for that. But that was a huge jump start for me starting there, because I worked my way down to kitchen and bath design.
Right.
And I think I was like 19, 20 years old.
And you were designing on a daily basis. Like, that was your job.
I was designing like 20 homes at a time. So I really learned how to like get through stuff. You were also working with the contractors, learning mm-hmm. like things that were problems, you know, and how to navigate through those issues under a big yeah. umbrella. And so that was really cool to see. And we were constantly getting trained, you know, on like the absolutely. New cool things.
Software,
and plumbing and everything.
Product.
Yep.
So while it was contradictory good. To what, you know, they were teaching us about the business of design yes. in design school, mm-hmm. what an incredible platform to just learn every single day.
Yeah, it was incredible. So I really, I'm really thankful to everything I learned there. And then I knew once I really got kitchen and bath design down, I decided I actually went to a place called Ethan Allen, which I'm sure a lot of us have heard about too. And that's also free design. so again, not something that's really we're thrilled about, but they had an amazing training program there. Mm-hmm. And I was able to learn a lot, do a lot of homes again at a time. And I absolutely loved it, and I became one of the top designers at Ethan Allen. Actually, I was on their wow. on their list for sales and everything with Ethan Allen. So I really I did well there, and once I really picked that up, I realized, okay, well, you know, you're only able to sell what they have, what they offer in their assortment,
right?
And that just felt like stifling. Like, I didn't love that. And
that probably showed you that you're a true creator. You're like, I need to be outside of this box.
Yeah, but I think I was like just taking the steps to understand scale, proportion, like how pieces felt in a room, and like mm-hmm. really learning that aspect of it. So so after that, I went to another big design firm, and that's where I really learned more product knowledge.
Right.
And what interior designers, like what we're using when you're not under an umbrella of Ethan Allen, when you can use anything in Italy and Spain, like wherever you yeah. want to go, how to have custom furniture made. And I knew I wanted to be in more of a luxury mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. area of design. That was what my goal was. I wanted to be in Crystal Cove. You know, at the time, Crystal Cove yeah. was like being built. And so
yeah.
I really focused on being in that more luxury category and learning that. And then I started a design firm, Blossom Residential Design, back in the day with Natasha. And we went off and we were designing homes all over.
Uh-huh.
And that really just didn't pan out, because I really learned we weren't being true business. We weren't running it like a business.
Oh.
And so I think that's where I learned, in order to be successful, you do have to run a company like a business. You can't just,
for sure.
you can't strictly just be passionate about what you're doing. I learned early on, I think that like, okay, well, maybe this isn't for me, because we were going to people's homes and sometimes doing it, you know, it's like we're working for free, right?
But you're like, but I love
this.
But
we loved what we were doing. We were doing some of the most beautiful homes, flying to Texas and Florida and all these places and working with these people that I was so like enamored with, you
sure,
know, they were just so cool, and
yeah.
I was amazed. And so, so while that was fun, both of us ended up having to get jobs, right? So I was actually at Nordstrom, and I ended up getting a job in Collectors. I became a Dolce & Gabbana buyer, and then I got offered to go to a name that I'm sure a lot of people on here have heard about, Restoration Hardware.
Uh-huh.
And that was a new program when they were launching their design program. And I thought that's a huge opportunity to grow something from like inception, you know?
Oh,
and
for
like
sure.
kind of see that turn into something big. And I would say that definitely was a job, if you want to call it a job, that I loved. I stayed there for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I became a senior designer running the West Coast design program. And I'm still friends with a lot of people there, learned a ton, very inspired. They're doing big things. But I did end up leaving because, again, I wanted to be able to source from all over.
Right.
And that was just not the case. That wasn't what was in the cards at the time when I was there. Mm-hmm. And so I decided to help out another design firm. And I thought, you know, I can turn that firm into something bigger. So I stayed there for a while, and in the end, I'll tell you, I decided, you know, I never wanted to start my own business after Blossom.
Right.
Just because of my personality.
Learned something about yourself and you realized that well, business component was necessary to move on. So that's good that you learned that and you acknowledge that.
Yeah. And I talked to a lot of people, a lot of friends in the industry, other designer friends of mine, you know, and I got scared. I mean, I needed, you know, we needed the income. So it wasn't like I could just step away from everything and not have an income. That's not how it worked in our case. So I was thinking like, how am I going to do this? How am I going to walk away and have nothing? I mean, I built up my career. I was making, you know, really actually really good money. Mm-hmm. I was doing well. I was having success. And I walked away to start something where people were telling me, you know, you might make a few thousand the first year, you know, and I'm like, that can't happen. I'm like, well, I can't, like, that doesn't work. So through some mentoring, I decided to just do it. Like, what did I have to lose? And it's how I've kind of lived my life. What do I have to lose? Like, just try it. You can always course correct, right?
Correct. Yeah.
And so I did. And, it's so far so good. You know, we're doing things that I didn't realize we would even get to this point so quickly.
Right. Right. What I like about your path, though, your journey, is that, you know, you really checked a lot of the boxes. It seems to me like you didn't rush the process. I feel like you did all the right things, or the things that we spend time recommending to other young designers or new designers, to go and learn all the different aspects of design, you know, by going to expo and being able to design all of the time, kitchen and bath, and learning different technology, and then by going to Ethan Allen and taking advantage of their training program, which I know is incredible. Like, you probably learn more about furniture and fabrication at Ethan Allen than any of us combined. You know what I mean? I know they have an incredible program. So I'm so glad that you respected those opportunities and didn't rush to start your own business. And then, most importantly, learning what you learned with Natasha, right? About how vital the business of design is in the success to the big picture.
Absolutely. And it's something I really, you know, I don't have a business background. That's not what I went to design or to school for.
Right. Most of us don't.
It's not what I'm passionate about. You know, I'm passionate about design and transforming and all of that, but I'm learning business a lot more now. So I would say I know a lot more now than I obviously did before, but, but yeah, having a business, like a structure, and having, you know, a good accountant, you know, all the things that, you know, you hear about, it is, it's critical in having a business. So sleeping at night.
And sleeping at night. Yeah. It's critical in order to actually sleep at night and not have to worry and wonder about all of these variables that are just the nature of the business. So you went in eyes wide open. You knew what it was going to take. You knew that it was going to take some business acumen. And if you did not possess that yourself, you were willing to bring someone on board to help you with that. So let's talk about your team now. How many people are on your team, and what does it look like?
We have 5 people on the team. And everyone is, you know, everyone's got their strengths, but we're also very collaborative, the team. So some of the team members are doing a lot of CAD work, you know, and we also do 3D, which has been huge in our business, you know, for, it's helped us a ton, actually, just being able to kind of figure out problems ahead of time, even sometimes by 3D. Our clients love it too, because they can visualize and actually see what we're doing. And we could take more risks because we can also see how it's going to look.
Exactly.
Right? Ahead of time. Because sometimes you're like scared to mix too many things. But if you're able to put it in 3D, we're able to really kind of play and do things.
And look at it and say, that's going to look just fine. It actually looks better than I envisioned.
Yeah, and it's good for our partners too, because then they can see actually what it's all going to look like. And they can get excited and all of that. So 3D has been really huge for us. We have people on the team who are really strong at furniture and lighting, you know, and then we've got, obviously, and then my husband, who he's more on the business side, doing our contracts and initial phone interviews, recruiting, a lot more of the business side of it all.
Perfect. Yeah. I mean, like I said, you knew that's what you needed. And so you found someone that could address that aspect. And the fact that he's your husband and that you trust him wholly is even better than
so much better
what you could possibly ask
and
for.
And recently we did bring on two. We do have someone who's doing helping us with more of the marketing side, mm-hmm. with our social platforms and with some new things that we're looking at doing, which that's also been a really fun, because I love the marketing side too.
Oh,
it's
right.
really fun to be creative, and you can really get creative with
oh, absolutely.
With marketing. So, so that's been something we've kind of added on to our business recently.
It could also be very consuming though, too. When I talk to a lot of designers, it's like, it's a love hate relationship. Like, you know, they love what it does for the business, and it is a creative outlet as well. So it's fun. It's a nice distraction from what we do every day, but it can become very consuming as well.
It definitely can. But I also think it's an important part of the business.
Oh, for sure.
Because you have to keep innovating and showing, you know, showing people things that they didn't know is possible, or, you know, different ideas. And that has been actually for us, it's been a big part of our business.
So correct me if I'm wrong. At the moment now, you are kind of running in that circle that you envisioned yourself in many, many years ago. You mentioned, you know, I want to do custom homes. I want to do luxury homes in Crystal Cove and that sort of thing. And based on your portfolio and the publications that I've seen you in, you are at that level. And while there are not a lot of players at that level, there's a good number of players at that level. So going back to the marketing, what are you doing to differentiate yourself from everyone else?
Well, we've had a little bit more of a challenge getting to this because we're not a 20-year-old company, mm-hmm. you know, that's been around forever in the luxury market where you can say, oh, Laura Brophy Interiors, that's like a luxury company. We are a newer company mm-hmm. and a newer brand. And so it's more of, again, we're marketing to who we're wanting to have as clients,
right.
you know, so we are showing more of the high end. We're obviously, you know, you've got Gucci, you've got Chanel, you've got all of these types of companies, right, in the fashion world that are on top. And like, whenever you're a new company coming in, that's really hard to get to Gucci,
of course, yeah.
right? Like, so you, in interior design, it's the same thing. We have a lot of designers that are absolutely incredible, you know, and also we've got LA right down the street,
exactly.
you know, with designers who've been doing this for a long time and very well respected. And so with us, it's been taking chances and not taking too long to try something. So we are working hard to move fast,
yeah.
right? So
yeah.
we're moving fast, but we're also trying to keep things simple while mm-hmm. we're moving fast. So, and part of that is having a vision and a goal. And our vision is to be, you know, one of the most admired design firms. And sticking with that goal, it's taking those steps to innovate, to think of things differently, not just follow,
mm-hmm.
but really lead in
right.
the industry. And part of that's been, you know, with the team, you know, we haven't been fast to like just bring people on. Like, we sometimes joke on our team, like, I mean, sometimes it could take a year to make a decision to bring someone on, you
yeah.
know, and it could take time, but we're in no rush to just bring someone on because we need someone.
Right. Because you're cognizant of the impact that that can have on the team and what you're trying to build.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So we're when I say we're moving fast, but trying to take all the steps to like not go so fast that we're like,
I think that's really important. And you know what? I just wrote down, because this business, it is a trial and error process, every aspect of it, creatively and on a business level. And so you're going to make decisions. You're going to fail. You're going to learn from them and move on. And so not being afraid to go through that process is going to get you there faster. In my opinion, if you're not willing to take risks and go a mile a minute like you're doing, you're going to get lost in the shuffle.
Yeah.
You're going to be left behind. And I think that is why some of these other design firms are at the level that you described. And I think that's how you're going to get to that level as well.
Yeah, I mean, the fast eat the slow.
Right.
So we're trying to, you know, be innovative. And we are, of course, we love like looking at our friends in the industry and what mm-hmm. they're doing. But we're also not focusing on that.
Right.
You know, we're focusing on like, what are we going to do that's going to stand out? Like, what can we do that's going to be different like, how can we interrupt this awesome design community mm-hmm. that we already have here in Orange County? And you know, it's inspiring. It's fun. And it's fun. It's fun to, like, lay at night and think about, like, what's the next cool thing that we can do? And I think it's just trying it and going and doing it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, don't be afraid.
I'm glad that you just brought up the fact that, you know, you're not afraid of disrupting the industry, and that while you do admire your peers, you don't get hung up on them, because in our industry, people spend a lot of time comparing. And I think one of the things that drew me to you, and I was like, okay, we're best friends forever now, is when we started talking about comparison and you were like, I don't do that. You just don't do that. And I think it's awesome. It's like the time that you're wasting comparing is, you know, time that you're neglecting for yourself and your business of actually getting to that place that you're envisioning.
Yeah. I mean, if you make a mistake, it's like, it's always easy to start over. You know, let's just say, like, we mess up or something happens,
right,
you know, and, like, fail, like the whole thing fails, you know, yep. Whatever it is. I mean, we can always start over. You know, for sure. What I mean? Like, it's not that big of a deal.
It's okay.
I mean, we live once. Like, right. Take the risk, try something. If it doesn't work, what's the worst thing that happens?
Exactly.
You know, if you kind of think of it that way, like, what is the worst thing that could happen? It's not really that bad.
And I'm glad that you share that, because I think a lot of, you know, designers need to hear that. I know a lot of designers that are listening have been through that process and they respect the process, but there's also so many young designers or new designers, people that, it's irregardless of age, people that are new at this business. And it's important to know that, you know, failure is okay. It's a learning mm-hmm. experience, and it's a part of the business, and it's necessary. Mm-hmm. It's necessary.
It is. I mean, if you're afraid to fail, then how many things are you going to miss out on?
Oh, you'll have no idea. You'll never know.
You'll never know. And so I think it's always looking at, like, the biggest thing is, what is the worst thing that could happen? I mean, take the risk, because something really awesome can come from it. And then the other thing to students, you know, if there's students who are listening, you know, like, don't do this for money. Like, that's the biggest thing. Mm-hmm. I think if you do something just for the money.
Right.
Like, are you really going to be happy? Are you really going to like, do something that's maybe fearful?
Sure.
If you're doing it for money.
Right. Because
you can lose it, right? Or right. Whatever. So it's just take those risks and surround yourself by great people who are going to lift you, who are going to build you up. You know, those are the people that you're going to want to be with, and take the risks and find a community that you want to be in.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's hard in the design industry. I mean, to be honest, I did not totally find a place. Obviously, look at how many places I moved to.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
I was in so many different firms. I was looking for the perfect firm.
Right.
Who did I want to be with and grow with? Restoration Hardware is probably the closest, to be honest, and that might make people cringe or whatever, but just because they were always innovating.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I think, is
they
so
still cool. Are.
Yeah, there still are. And it's like, but we all should.
Exactly.
Why are we not all, like, let's all innovate. Like, let's build each other up, and, like, let's push ourselves to things that are so cool. And that's what my team, you know, that's what I love about my team. Like, we're all willing to, like, just go, you know? And I think that's what our strong suit is.
I love that. Everybody has an opinion about RH, but at the end of the day, they are innovators and they're killing it. So it's like, stop hating and start, you know, doing what they're doing. Because
they're an amazing brand.
Yeah.
I mean, they have built an amazing brand.
Right. And you may not agree with everything that they do, but they're showing us that they can go places. Design can go places.
And I think that's where, in our community as designers, how can we all innovate? So, like, RH, like, they're their own brand. We all have our own brands.
Right.
You know, focus on what we're really good at. Because there's a lot of things that RH and other, you know, West Elm,
they're not that. Anthropology. Exactly.
I mean, there's so many out there, right?
Yep.
They offer free design. Anyone can go there.
Yeah.
And get some free design. But what aren't you getting that you can get from another firm who's innovating and is able to source from around the world, and that you're able to have a real connection with, who's going to hold hands with you, like, throughout a process,
right,
that you're not going to get from a retailer. So there's something for everyone.
Yep. Yeah.
There's plenty of business, as all of us know. And I think it's just making it known who you are.
From a brand perspective, I think that's a very good comparison, because you're right. Anthropology is anthropology, and RH is not trying to be anthropology.
No.
And West Elm is not trying to be RH. And so it's such a perfect analogy of, you know, identify that brand, stick to it, own it, and run with it. Mm-hmm. Because they're showing us that it works.
They are, and they're very product-driven.
Mm-hmm.
These are product-driven places. And while being an interior designer, we're obviously selling products,
mm-hmm.
but we are giving so much more than just selling a product.
Oh,
we're not
just
selling someone a sofa.
Service side. Yeah, the whole service side. You can hardly attach a price tag to.
Yeah, so I mean, really, what is it like when you hire an interior designer? It's us educating our clients on why. I mean, because you know what? We've actually gone up against restoration hardware.
Right.
They come in like, well, they're free. You're not.
Yeah.
They're going to do this. It's like, okay, well, yeah, you can go with them.
Sure. Have
that
a seat,
is a
though.
Completely different thing. And I'm not saying it's bad, good, whatever. But we're not focused on that. We are focused on giving a great experience to every one of our clients who comes in, the best experience. And so there's things that we've put in place to be different.
Right.
Right. And give a different experience for our type of client. And not every client is going to be our type of client.
Correct.
So it's establishing that early on too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure. So let's talk about our signature questions, which I know you're familiar with, but I'd be curious to hear, you know, based on your path and your journey, what would you say is the secret to your survival in this business of design?
I believe it's adapting, you know, and it's being critical and it's being curious. And I think with everything that's going on and as you're building things, you know, being curious how to get to the, you know, how to get to that dream client, you know, how are you going to get to your vision, you know, being the most admired design firm, you know, our vision, how do we get there? And then it's also being critical of when you're making mistakes or when maybe you made a wrong decision or, you know, you took a job that, oh shoot, you know, that maybe that wasn't the right job to sign up for, you know, maybe like I didn't qualify, you know, like whatever the things are. I think it's being critical, and when you do make a mistake or maybe in your business it wasn't the right decision, course correcting.
Yep.
And I think being afraid of change is something we can't be, especially now with technology, everything that's going on in the world. Like, just don't be afraid of change. Embrace it.
Yeah.
Change is good.
Yeah.
You know, and it's okay. And just, I think living your life that way, just going with the flow, is kind of how you kind of get through things. And I think that's been very key to our success.
And what would you say is, and I know it's going to be hard to pick just one, and you touched on this earlier, but what would you say is the one thing that you know now that you wish you knew then when you launched your business?
Well, okay, so this does go back to something that I was talking about a little bit earlier, which is like when I had Blossom Residential Design and taking, you know, again, I talked a lot about how I've really never done this for money, more for passion. Like, I mean, I could go to your house if you were like, hey, can you come over and help me design my living room? I'd be like, oh my God, let's go do it, Rick.
Right now.
Like, I'm so excited. Like, let's turn your living room into like the most smashing whatever. So that's how that's where my brain goes.
Yeah.
So I think back then, if I would have understood, in order to have a business, you have to treat your business like a business. That's really the biggest. That's one of my biggest learnings early on that I had to experience to get to where I am now. And knowing that, like, I'm not a business person. That's not what my background is. So you bring people on your team who do have that side. You don't have to be good at everything.
Right. Yeah, you can't be all things. You can't.
No, so we have Rob is really our business side, and he will, you know, sometimes be, you know, we can get in a few little arguments over this too, because, you know, I will sometimes do things where it's like, you got to think of the business, you have to think of your team.
Right.
You know, you can't have the same mentality you had back in the day when it was just me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or else we're not going to succeed. So.
Well, you saw what happened. You saw what happened trying to do it that way. So, yeah. You know, it's a constant reflection.
And that is the hardest part for me, which is why, again, yeah. I do not do our contracts. I don't talk about our contracts. I mean, I have a very good understanding of it
of
now.
Course.
Could I talk to you about our contract? Yes.
Yeah.
Could I tell you exactly how we charge and how we run our business? Yes, I could tell you all of it. But it's I always go back to like my initial reactions, like yes, and going to just help. And I just have to sometimes slow down. And you really have to, you really have to treat a business like a business.
Right. And, you know, and just to clarify, because we've had this conversations many times on the podcast, like as a business owner, as a design business owner, you don't have to know everything. You do have to have an understanding of your business, like you just described, and an understanding of your contract and an understanding of market, of your marketing strategy and many other things. But you can't do it all and you can't be an expert at all of it. The goal should be to focus on being the expert at what it is that you do best, and that's design. And then, you know, bringing people and surrounding yourself by people that can, you know, take the lead on those other aspects that are necessary. It's when you think that you don't have, that you don't need those components to have a successful business, that's when things go south. But I think the moment that you recognize that you need them, and then also recognize that you don't have to do them all, then that growth happens.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you can't do everything.
No way.
And you shouldn't.
No
you
know way. I mean? Like, oh, you'll just burn out in a year.
Yeah, and it's not fair to your clients.
Right.
It's not fair to your partners. I mean, you really, there's so many talented people out there. So
yeah.
If you can get the talented people that can help and want to come to a culture and help build it and help grow it and amplify a business as something super cool and fascinating. I mean, that's how you build a really rad business.
That's an exciting business model.
Yeah.
It really, really is. So Laura, how would you say that you pay it forward in the business of design?
So, you know, I thought about this question because I know that's a question that you always ask on your podcast. And, you know, so I was thinking about, you know, the things of like, you know, we're with like big brothers, big sisters, like,
sure.
You know, we're involved with them and things like that. But in the community, what I have found we're a little different, and you could tell me if I'm not, whatever, but we really like to speak to our partners who are really great. So even if it's not interior designers, other trades, and on social media and some of our other platforms, we give those sources out. So I have found with other firms or other designers I talk to, a lot of us like to like keep things kind of secretive, right? Which is fine. But the hardest thing for me when I was starting my firm is that to find the best people. Like, who are the best people in the industry that you really enjoy working with and who are really good at their craft and that you can trust? And we like to speak to those partners and talk about them. So like you can find, if you go on our social media, you can find that we tag a lot of people.
Yeah.
So we tag, if you did a great job and we think you are a great partner and a great vendor to us, we don't have a problem sharing that with the community. Because one, they've done an extremely good job. It's not us. Like, so when we're putting together these homes and taking the beautiful photos and putting it out there, yeah, of course, like LBI was on the job. We were a big part of it.
Sure.
But so were the whole team that was behind that installation. And so we like to talk about that. You know, we like to talk about Zething or whoever, like all of our partners who made a project come to life.
Right.
And you know what? If there's a younger designer out there who's trying to figure it out, now they know they can click on it and they can start looking at the amazing people. Like, you can speak to the best people and you kind of start learning who are the great people right now in in the trades who are going to do an amazing job and who are going to be, you know, make your project look really good.
Right.
And you can, like, then other people are starting to see that company's blowing up. Like, mm-hmm. they now have someone that they're kind of looking at, and they, you know, you kind of start this momentum, and yeah. and I want to see that continue going, you know, keep
it's that community over competition mentality, which I like a lot. And like you said, it's very helpful to newer designers, but it's also very helpful to established designers too, because we all now are forced to really diversify the way that we get inspiration and source new products. And, you know, social media is a perfect example. Yeah. And so, you know, people are looking, and it's really cool that you're like, here, let me help you. If this is something that you like, let me make it easy for you to find and learn about for yourself so that it can elevate your business and your projects too and make your clients happy.
Absolutely. I think it's nice to share who's out there and who's doing a really good job. And then, you know, also even, you know, building up the other interior designers in our community.
Totally.
You know? Like, you know, I love talking, you know, there's a handful of people like Maria with Isles Interiors, you know, we talk a lot and are good uh-huh. friends, and I want to see her succeed, you know, and it's like, we'll share who we're using, you know, who's what vendor are using for floors,
right.
you know,
yeah.
or whatever, or other designers, and then getting together, going to some of the functions that are happening, supporting our partners, Middle B Showroom, you know, mm-hmm. whoever, there's all these amazing people out there that are bring the community together, and I think it's showing up. Like, I know we can't show up to everything, you know, because that's a lot, but you know, it's nice to have the community supporting each other and what we're doing, and being more connected.
So important. Well, Laura, I so appreciate you. And by the way, you're paying it forward right now as we speak. I always tell everyone, by the way, you're doing it now, you're paying it forward. But I love the way you support the community as well. Thank you so much for taking the time to be on the podcast and for sharing your story and giving us some valuable insight. I'm sure that it's really going to benefit the people out there that are listening on a whole bunch of different levels. Tell us how we can learn more about you if we want to stalk you further. Website, Instagram.
Website is brophyinteriors.com, and Instagram is Laura Brophy Interiors.
Easy enough. Thanks a million, Laura. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. This was so fun.
Okay, everyone, I hope you enjoyed the conversation with Laura Brophy as much as I did. You know, I've had a lot of conversations with design professionals over the years, and there's something about Laura that really captured my attention from the first time I met her. She has her mind set on delivering a heightened client experience through innovative design and exceptional service. She clearly learned a lot along the way about brand identity, and her emphasis on presenting as a luxury brand has placed her on the fast track to the recognition that she has envisioned for her design business. Risk and failure have become a reoccurring theme in recent conversations here on the podcast, and I really appreciate how candidly Laura shared her experience of launching her first design business and the lessons learned. I was especially glad to hear that the experience motivated her to regroup and rebuild. It taught her how to treat her business like a business. Conversation with Laura is her simple comparison of other luxury brands and how none of them are trying to beat each other, but rather they have their own identity among the other brands. Remember, there's room for all of us at the table, so rather than focusing on what everyone else is doing, focus on what you're doing differently to set yourself apart from the rest. If you love this podcast episode, please share with a friend or colleague. If you're listening on iTunes, please take a moment to leave a review. That really helps boost our visibility on the platform to reach more design professionals just like you. And speaking of reaching more design professionals just like you, are you subscribed to our email list? It's super easy, you guys. All you have to do is go to the webpage and enter your email address in the pop-up box or click the icon in the upper right-hand corner. We have so many great announcements for the new year, so join our email list today. Keep an eye on your inbox and get ready for some amazing programs and opportunities in the coming year. Thanks for joining us. And until next time, be safe, be kind, and get out there and inspire.